everybody. Premiership Rugby is back, and so are we for another season. It's played 1-1-1 for Sale, who laboured but ultimately emerged triumphant over Northampton Saints, 32 points to 23 in the opening match of their 2020-2021 season. My name is Lewis. Welcome back inside the Shark Tank, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined as always by my co-hosts Alex and James. Alex, how good was it to have rugby back after a period of 23 days?
Yeah, it's been a long wait, hasn't it? It's early in the season, and you can tell that by the fact that you can't pronounce the name of the season yet. But it's great to have it back. I think it's good to have it back for Sale, isn't it? Because we were expecting a bit more of a run-in than we got. So it is very nice to have sport all weekend, especially with the Autumn Nations Cup going on. There's just so much to look forward to. So, yeah, it feels good. And it feels like we are hitting the ground running on a new season, which is really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And James, how are you after round one of the Premiership season?
Well, I'm a bit in shock. Played 1-1-1. Sale. This is a bit unusual, isn't it? We haven't hit the post with the last minute kick. We haven't missed the last minute kick. We haven't been caught cold and battered away from home on a sunny September day at Quinn's or anything like that. Played 1-1-1. Well, I'll take that any day of the week.
You know, I was thinking about that game at Quinn's earlier today, sort of thinking about what we're going to chat about. And I'm guessing we might as well start the discussion here, James, because I know you're very critical of the Sale's coaching staff over the summer months in terms of getting the players back in sort of peak fitness, or at least you have been the last couple of years. So, you know, you look back at that dreary day down in southwest London where Sale basically ran out of gas after the 40th minute and ultimately lost quite handsomely to Quinn's. We didn't see any of that on Friday. We saw a really well-constructed team play smart rugby. We didn't see any sort of burnout from the long season and the short restart. Do you actually think, you know, not having that much of a break is going to help Sale this season, given our historical issues? We're getting back up to peak form quickly after a summer off.
Absolutely. There's continuity of understanding. There's been no player turnover either, so you know, in terms of understanding the plays and, you know, embedding new players, we've not had to do that this time. As I say, continuity of fitness I think is quite a big thing for Sale, and continuity of intensity, because I think that is where Sale have struggled in pre-seasons in the past. We've always played less pre-season games. I think, you know, the way that Dimes runs the training sessions, because we run quite a small squad, is, you know, the actual contact element of it is a little bit lower, which is how we manage, I think, bodies and injuries throughout the season really, really well. But it does mean that we've been caught cold at the beginning of new seasons. It happened again at the, you know, at the start of the restart of the last season as well. So I think this has played to our advantage. And I think also it has helped a little bit that we had a bit of a point to prove here to the rugby community. You know, that we would have finished in the top four last year if it wasn't for this global pandemic. And on our day, you know, we're there to beat anybody, really. And you never know, we could have won the title. And there was a bit of bad blood, wasn't there, between us and the rest of the rugby community. And I think that the team came out and really had a point to prove. So all in all, that resulted, as you said, in a really professional, really structured and well-won victory, really, in the end.
Have we had an apology from Hugo Monier and Pat Lam yet about the COVID stuff? Anyone know?
I'll let Alex answer that one.
No, we've had a denial from Pat Lam that he said anything wrong. So I did nearly try and tweet Bristol Bears a picture of all the reaction to his comments to prove that he did do something wrong. But then I thought, no, Alex, you've got better things to do with your life. And Hugo Monier definitely said that we'd been exonerated, but there's been no apology. So that's all I'm going to say about that in the interests of, you know, my own blood pressure.
That's Pat Lam watch for another week, which hopefully won't become a recurring feature, but we'll see what happens with that. So let's actually talk about the game then. Obviously, 32-23. As I kind of mentioned off the top, it was a professional win. It's, you know, 4 tries, 5 points in the bag, great start to the season. And ultimately, Alex, Sale, on paper, with a better team coming into the game, based on the actual squad compositions of both teams and obviously the form that, that Sale were in versus where Saints finished at the end of last season. We didn't play amazingly, but when you're playing at maybe 75%, 80% of your potential, and you're still able to relatively easy handle an okay Northampton Saints team, you've got to think that's job done, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, we, you know, when you look at what's come out of the game, you know, we've got 5 points, Northampton have got nothing. That's kind of all that matters at the end of the day, isn't it? What goes on in the table. And I think, you know, I said after the game that as frustrating as it is that there's still stuff we could have been good at, there was one massive issue in this game, and that was our discipline. But actually, every other area of our game was superb. You know, we've had an attack that's flourished and scored, you know, some really good tries. We've had a defence that held firm and looked incredible at times. You know, it just looked like there was, you know, no way through. I think, you know, so many elements of our game were really, really good. The lineout was brilliant. So it's a really, really positive start to the season. And I think what kept Northampton in it, it was our discipline, and it was a combination of, you know, us giving away penalties, us getting on the wrong side of the ref then not liking us as a result, which is fair enough, although frustrating as a Sale fan. So, you know, I think it's a massively encouraging start to the season from what you look at other starts to the season, because we look fit and firing. And yes, there's a few issues, but it's not the kind of rustiness of a start of season. It's there's a big issue over discipline, which there always is with Sale, to be fair. So, you know, I'm massively encouraged for the rest of the season. I think, you know, it helps that we started at home, probably. There seems to be something in our psyche that kind of builds up to that. But either way, you know, we've got off to a perfect start. And Northampton weren't great, but we made them look not great at the same time by playing really, really well. And I think that's in contrast to, you know, when we played Saints, I think it was last season when I had my meltdown, although it feels like ages ago. When Saints weren't great, but we actually made them look competitive. So it's a massive step up. And I think, you know, you saw some big performances from individual players as part of that. But no, really, really encouraging for the rest of the season, I think.
Yeah, so I had kind of two main issues with Sale's performance on Friday. We'll get to the positive stuff in a bit. For me, discipline, as you rightly said, Alex, massive issue. We saw kind of Sale get on the wrong side of the referee, you know, early and often. We saw kind of instances of talking back to the referee, challenging his decisions, all these kind of silly things that, A, you shouldn't do, but B, if you're going to do them, and that's the worst part of your performance, well, at least they're very very resolvable. The second part was the scrum, which I didn't think was great, but at the same time, we were playing Valery Morozov at one and Kearney Eustazen at three, which I think it's probably fair to say is a backup front row, at least with Eustazen as a tight head rather than as a loose head. You know, no Ross Harrison, no Will Griff-John. Maybe that part of the game is a little bit different because if those two are playing, because I thought that was the only area where Saints really had any ascendancy. But when you kind of put those things together, the 16 penalties, the, you know, the scrum issues, and the fact that Sale, I think, looked good in attack, but, you know, didn't necessarily blow anyone away. The fact that we're still able to quite comfortably handle like a mid-table side in Northampton, and I think that's a fair assessment of this Saints team, and pick up a bonus point, that kind of shows just how strong a team we've built and ultimately how we're a very dangerous team in a lot of different ways that can win in a lot of ways, and that's what you need to do over the course of a season. So, James, that's actually the negatives kind of out of the way, and we've kind of spun it into a positive. But, you know, from your perspective, what was the most encouraging thing you saw on Friday night as part of this, you know, quite comprehensive win over Saints?
That the AJ McGinty dummy still works. And even though it did look like he was running in quicksand, he still managed to outpace the chasers. So that was very pleasing to see. But no, I thought that Sale, I think you're absolutely right. I think our discipline kept Northampton in it, but actually we beat Northampton in nearly every single facet of the game. I thought the scrum was relatively even. I don't think Northampton did win a few scrum penalties, but I don't think they absolutely dominated us there. And we looked reasonably solid. Also, I think it goes to show just how much we're sort of basing our attacking game off Dupria offloads and carrying ability. I would be a bit worried about us at the moment and the way we're playing without the two Duprias in the pack. That's just one element which I think is a little bit of a worry. But it was also fantastic to see Aka van der Merwe back. You know, I think that Langdon was very unfortunate not to start the game. I'm not sure what Aka had done to get that jersey back for the start of this season, but what he has done now is put down that marker again as I am the number one choice. He hit his man in the line out. He was extraordinary around the park. He was, you know, he was the only person catching AJ, basically, for AJ's try. So there's lots of positives around, and our defence continues to be the best in the league. And, you know, if I was the Welsh coach at the moment, with a vacancy in defence, I would be forking out a lot of money for Mike Forshaw, having lost Edwards, because I think our defence is just extraordinary.
You've hit on one player that I kind of wanted to put the spotlight on, which is Aka van der Merwe, who I think was probably the only, him and Simon Hammersey, who we'll talk about in a moment, you know, he was probably the only person where his selection, the 15 on Thursday or whatever it was, kind of raised an eyebrow. Obviously, you know, the kind of qualms of his like lineup throwing, etc., you know, quite well documented. But I thought he had an absolutely fantastic game. Around the park, he was his usual destructive self. The pace, the power, you know, he's bouncing, you know, Northampton players off him around midfield. He's obviously a very dynamic player, probably the most dynamic hooker in the league, especially as a ball carrier and as a jackal. But actually, in the line-out, I thought him and Kobus Vise, who I want to give a bit of a shout-out to, had a fantastic game, because the line-out was the real issue. And if you compound a slight edge to Northampton in the scrum with a load of missed line-outs or issues at that part of the game, all of a sudden our platform from which the Dupriers can offload and Van Rensburg can run through people kind of evaporates. And the game gets a lot closer. And maybe then we're talking about a game that slipped through our fingers at the start of the season again. But actually, van der Merwe was really solid. I thought Visa did a fantastic job doing a lot of the line-out calling. You know, no Beaumont, no Diaga. I don't know whether or not Kobus and Aka is kind of our ideal lock and hooker combination, but there's maybe an element of familiarity with them there, given that they're compatriots. I don't know, but it worked. And I thought it was really important. And I thought, you know, van der Merwe had an absolutely fantastic game and answered a lot of very fair criticism of how he fits into the Sale team. And ultimately, you know, he's got to show he can hit his man 8-9 times out of 10 with consistency and do all those other things that we mentioned. But I thought he had an absolutely fantastic game on Friday. And I think, you know, ultimately he was one of our star performers and a big reason why we won. Alex, what did you make of the Acorns' performance on Friday?
That was a very interesting commentary line, wasn't it? You could tell that one had been pre-prepped. I thought he was superb. I think the thing we've always said with Aka is that virtually every facet of his game is brilliant, apart from his line-out throwing, and we were 100% in the line-out. That's a spoiler for the stats later. But, yeah, you know, he's just so dynamic around the field, and he's so clever with the positions he finds himself in. You know, the amount of times someone's thrown him a pass where he's been in space through a gap, you know, it's almost sort of winger-esque poaching. Like, who needs Chris Ashton when you've got Aka van der Merwe? It's just, you know, there's so many examples of where he's been in the right place at the right time and then finished it so well. Like, his finishing ability is just superb as well. And I think it's almost an underrated part of his game. You know, he's dynamic and he's fast and he gets over the ball. But, you know, when he finishes tries like that, it's just it's invaluable. So, you know, I think you're right. You can't speak highly enough of him. And the fact that he sorted out the line out as part of, you know, that facet of his game being the most difficult one means, you know, he's probably one of our most important players now, because And it puts us in really good stead at hooker as well. You know, we've got two real quality first-choice hookers, in effect, with Langdon and Van der Merwe, who can both throw in reliably and are both brilliant around the park. So massively encouraging, I think. And, you know, I hope it continues. And I think you're right that, you know, the stability, you know, we've got Visa and Jean-Luc Dupreux in the second row. So hopefully that also, you know, they can build that relationship in the same way that Weber and Evans had. And that should send us in good stead as well.
Well, the other player I wanted to, I can't really think of a natural segue from Aki van der Merwe as this raging warthog of ball carrying and offloading to Simon Hammersley. So I'm not even going to pretend to do it. But what's all about Simon Hammersley? And James, you know, the other kind of question mark around Sale's selection on Thursday was having Simon Hammersley on the wing ahead of Marlon Yard. How do you think he did, you know, given the fact, you know, he was able to bag a try and looked pretty solid all round? You know, is this one of those performances where the less we see him in an unfamiliar position, the better a performance?
Well, you know, I think it was, against Saints after lockdown that he was on the wing as well? I can't remember, but certainly the second time I've seen him on the wing. And this was his best performance in a Sale jersey, for me. I thought he was very, very solid. He operated a bit like a second fullback almost. We sort of dropped too deep. You know, it sort of releases a bit of pressure for your number eight and your 10 to retreat when you're fielding kicks, when you've got Hammersley and Luke James. And, you know, it also allows Solomona, because he comes in off his wing a little bit and roams around carrying the ball. So enables a bit more freedom there as well. I thought he was excellent. He did all the simple things really well. He took the high balls, he recycled possession. You know, I think he did everything we could ask for him. I don't think he's ever going to set the world alight, is he? He's not got enormous pace, but he's proven he can finish nicely in the left-hand corner, and he's proving himself to be a more valuable squad player playing in more than one position, especially with Luke James. Also, I thought, had another good game for Sale.
Alex, you're our resident back. Is there anything you want to add to that in terms of the Hammer of Hammershire's performance?
No, it was against Northampton, I think. I think you're right, James. He scored in that game as well. So he gets a few tries out of playing on the wing. I think it just gives us a bit of a different dimension, doesn't it? And yeah, we're not, as much as we've got some very good wingers, with Byron out injured, and Marlon Yard probably not playing his best rugby at the moment, I think Hammersley is a very, very good option on the wing. And sort of, it allows us to put Rohan in the centre, although obviously we do have Sam Hill in the centre, so we're relatively well stocked there as well. But I think he's really solid. He's a really solid player. But again, he just gets himself in the right position. It's almost similar to Luke James in that, you know, it's very calming influence in that back three. And James is right, you've kind of got Denny roaming around, you know, trying to find gaps and that kind of thing. And it's just that solidity from Hammersley and James. And, you know, I think the reason Hammersley probably isn't first-choice fullback isn't because he isn't a very good player. And I think his first season was a really good season. I think it's because Luke James has been brilliant. So if we can find a way of getting him in the team, then I think that works really well. And just the whole balance of that back line, you know, you've got the threat of Denny on one wing, you've got the power of Rohan, you've got Sam James creating stuff with his pace on the outside as well. Faf and AJ look really, really good when they play together now. And I think, you know, Simon Hammersley and Luke James have spoken about, but I think they complement it. So it makes for a really well-balanced backline, in my opinion. And I think that almost looks like our first choice now, which, you know, you would expect at the start of the season. But the way they've kind of picked up on the relationships in that backline and how they'll play off each other is really encouraging for hopefully the rest of the season.
I think as well, I think it's good squad management and good tactical choices from the coaching staff, because you look at the Sale team now, there's not many obvious holes in our starting 15 that you can really attack as a focus area. Probably one of the few areas that you could make a case for that is actually the high ball. You know, if you've got, especially if you've got Naya Rivaro or some, you know, huge winger, I know he didn't play on Friday, if you've got those really like massive wingers, you could just loft a load of high balls up. And actually, you know, between Solomon and James and, you know, McGuigan, Yard, whoever, were probably not the strongest from that kind of tactical point of view. And so I actually think Dimes and Deacon and the rest of them have done quite an astute move there by putting Hammersley on the wing and giving a bit of game time there, because it adds an element of solidity in terms of having a winger who's good under the high ball because he's played fullback for most of his career. And it means it kind of takes away one of the few areas where teams can really attack us. And, you know, ultimately, we weren't tested that much in that area on the night. You know, Saints had a lot of possession, but they couldn't really do much with it. But you did see in the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, is it James Grayson, the Saints fly half, he was trying to loft some kicks up. It obviously looked like it was the sort of plan A from Chris Boyd and the Saints. And it didn't really work because Luke James is really solid under high ball. And actually, by putting Hammersley on the left wing over Yard, it probably takes away one of the few areas that that opposite teams can really attack. So I thought it'd be interesting to see if that does continue, whether or not that changes once McGuigan's back. But I think it shows, you know, a nice bit of versatility for the squad. And it shows that actually Hammersley can be used in a really clever tactical way as well, which I thought was a nice move from the coaching staff. Anyway, let's do some three-word reviews quickly before we move on to the stats. So Phil Bramley, who's verified on Twitter, Aka answers critics. Andrew Sanders, must keep focus. Hugo Scott, Aka can throw. Matt L, stop the penalties. Missio Blissio, good in places. Lee Watson, slow start avoided. And Sam Bowditch, stick with AJ. So, very encouragingly, I think we've ticked off quite a lot of those talking points from the game. It doesn't seem like we're missing too much. But Alex, just a quick one back to you, just on AJ McGinty. Really good performance. You know, the show and go is back, as James mentioned. Do you think he's done enough from this kind of first game, getting picked over Rob Dupria? Do you think he's done enough to kind of solidify that spot as we sort of head through the first part of the season, at least?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he looked really good. And I think his combination with Pfaff is probably what's going to get him in the team as well, because I think the coaching staff are always really, really keen to have Pfaff as our starting nine. And I just think Rob Dupria doesn't look quite as good with Pfaff. I think he probably looks better with Wilcliffe. And Rob Dupria tends to take a lot of time to warm up into it, doesn't he? You know, we've seen that he you know, he's not that effective off the bench. I don't think he had a great game on Friday. So I think... Yeah, it's AJ's shirt to lose at the moment, both on the strength of his performances and probably the fact that Rob Dupree is not going to get much of a chance to kind of stake his claim. But, you know, we'll see. I think it's one of those where, you know, AJ can go down with injury, Rob Dupree could get into a really good run of form. So, you know, you wouldn't like to predict it, but certainly I think he's played well enough in this game and the way he plays with the players around him to put him as our first choice 10 at the moment.
Right, so we're all officially on the AJ McGinty hype once again. Glad for you boys to join me back on the bandwagon. James, before we do stats from Friday's game, is there anything else you want to mention as a kind of key reason, you know, why Sale won or why Saints lost, or just anything from the game that you think's worth shouting about?
Just the final thing, just on Saints, I think, you know, that where it's worked to our advantage, being able to carry momentum and fitness, it's really working against sides that were falling away with their form at the end of last year. And Saints are the biggest example of that, sitting in the top four before the restart, and they just, you know, collapsed to nowhere. And, you know, the impact on that confidence and to be able to have that reset moment just becomes so difficult for them. And I think lacking, you know, Dan Bigger was in poor form before, but, you know, certainly someone a talisman like him, and they lost Ryan Ack as well. I think that they've really struggled to replace those two. James Grayson, I think, is a good player. Obviously, so is Alex Mitchell. But they've lost that real drive. So I think the game was there for the taking, and, you know, next week's going to be a bigger challenge for us.
There you go. There you have it. Newcastle, bigger threat to Sale's playoff ambitions than Northampton. Heard it here first. So, Alex, stats from Friday's game.
Yes, absolutely, and it's a pretty good week. There's obviously one big one, which, let's just get it out of the way first. We conceded 17 penalties to Northampton's 7. Just to kind of break that down, it was pretty much all the forwards. They conceded, the starting pack conceded 15. Simon Hammersley conceded one for not releasing, and Jake Cooper-Woolley conceded one off the bench. It was kind of varied. So, you know, there's a few at the ruck, a few at the maul, a few at the scrum. But overall, I think it's definitely the forwards that are giving them away. So that's one to watch out for. Aki gave away three, Jono three, Ben Curry and Dan Dupria, and Valerie Morozov two each. I mean, it's an obvious issue, so I won't go into it too much, but that was one negative. And the only other major negative in the stats was turnovers conceded. We conceded 13 to Northampton's 8. And in terms of what they were, it was largely dropping the ball or, again, at rucks and mauls, maybe just a little bit of an issue at the breakdown that indicates, but nothing too worrying. Now, obviously, that gave rise to Northampton having more of the territory in possession. They had 60% territory and 57% of the possession, but they just didn't do anything with it. So they made 181 metres off 92 carries, for about 2 metres a carry, in effect. Whereas we, on the other hand, only had 77 carries, so less than Northampton, obviously with our less possession. But we made 245 metres, so that's about just over 3 metres a carry. So we looked really, really, I think, sort of... Our carrying was brilliant. Some individual highlights, Aki van der Merwe with 42 metres off 9 carries, Dan Dupree with 22 metres off 8 carries, and AJ McGinty, 40 metres off 4 carries. And then Rohan Jansen van Rensburg made 56 metres off 8 carries, which is really impressive. So he was the top metre maker in the game. So he had a massive impact in the midfield. So it was really encouraging. We beat 24 defenders to Northampton's 13. We threw 10 offloads to their 2. So we just really did look like a better attacking team with the ball in hand, albeit we didn't have that much of it. The other area is defence. So I think we saw kind of towards the end of the game that our defence looked really strong. So we made 116 tackles and missed 13 for a completion rate of 90%. Compared to Northampton, they made 89 tackles, but they missed 24. So they're about 79%. So I think that just shows that, you know, we had less of the ball. But when we didn't have the ball, we were tackling hard and we were making those tackles and we weren't missing them. We were putting Northampton under pressure, which meant they couldn't make metres. And then when we did have the ball, we were way more incisive. In terms of defence, again, some big performances. So we made 116 tackles, as I said. Half of those were made by the second row and back row, so the starting second row and back row, that is. So in terms of individual performances, Kovas Visa with 15 out of 16, Johnny Ross with 14 out of 15, Ben Curry 10 out of 10, Jean-Luc Dupria 10 out of 10, and Dan Dupria 9 out of 9. So, you know, it was a really, really encouraging performance on all those areas. Defensively, we looked really strong, I thought, and the stats backed that up. And then just a note on scrums and lineouts. So we were 100% from our scrum. Northampton was 75% from theirs. And lineouts, again, we were 100%. Kobe Spicer taking 3, John Ross taking 3, and Dan Dupria taking 3. So Aki van der Merwe with 9 out of 9, just how that's what we were saying before about how strong he's been. So, you know, there's some really, really encouraging stats in there. What we're doing with the ball, what we're doing without the ball. It's just a few too many turnovers conceded, but, you know, that's kind of going to happen when, you know, you try and offloads that we're like we are, and certainly too many penalties, as we've said. So, yeah, a very encouraging week statistically. And it just shows that, you know, we're almost playing like England are at the moment, where we don't need the ball, but we just kind of suffocate teams in defence and then hit them on the attack. So that is very good to see and encouraging for next week against Newcastle.
Don't even think I need to chime in here. That was such a good segue. So, James, you know, Sale play Newcastle as part of the second round of Premiership Rugby. Obviously, you know, our Northern brethren, we saw them produce a pretty impressive victory away to Bath in their first game back in the Premiership after a year down in the Championship. But what can we expect from this new version of Newcastle Falcons back again to contest the Premiership?
Well, look, they're going to be a well-coached side. They're well-led with Dean Richards over there. Nick Easter is new into the replacing John Wells into the coaching setup as well. So I think he'll add a bit of more sort of a modern approach to the way they play their game and maybe perhaps be a bit more mobile as a group of forwards. And then also, of course, you know, I think Dave Walder, I think, is a massively underrated coach. You've got to remember that two seasons ago, Newcastle finished in the top four. And, you know, they have lost quite a few players, a few homegrown players, especially in the second row. But a lot of that nucleus is still there or returned after a loan period. So it, for the first time in a while, or probably for the first time this season, a preview, I think it's worth having a look at sort of certainly incoming players. Mark Wilson, I think he might be injured at the moment, which is a story that we're all too familiar with. But he has obviously returned from us, as has Mulopola from Gloucester, and Chavez has also returned from loan. They've signed Marco Fusa from Benetton, who I think is a, you know, is a good quality second row to be available year round. Doesn't seem to be in the Italy reckoning at the moment. Luther Burrell, I think, is a very clever signing. Played at 13 at the weekend. Obviously, he can cover 12 as well. He's got a number of England caps. Ex-Sale player, never really worked for us, unfortunately, but went well at Northampton after that. Bit of a failed experiment going over to Warrington Wolves, and certainly towards the end of his career. But I thought he had a very good game at the weekend. He'll carry all day long. He's very athletic and very tall. He's also got a good offloading game if he can reach beyond the first tackler too. The best signing for me is Matthias Orlando, who's obviously not available at the moment. He's a very clever signing as an outside centre, and when he returns from the Tri Nations, I'm sure he'll have a big impact on the Newcastle team. They've had a really good win at the Wreck at the weekend. I mean, to go away from home, even without crowds, is a really good shout. I thought Gary Graham had a brilliant game at number eight. Really quick thinking for his try. A quick line out was taken on the five, and he went over from there, and although he had a great game otherwise. It's worth mentioning as well that the team that Newcastle put out was nowhere near their first choice side, and yet they still went away from home and won. You only have to look at the back row and where Gary Graham excelled to realise there was no Wilson, no Welsh either, who's usually captaining the side. You know, real homegrown leaders, those two. So to go away from home and come back with the win is an enormous achievement. Callum Chick also. John Hardy, ex-Scotland Open side. So they've got lots of options in the back row. I'm not sure what their latest fitness is. But the point is, you know, that they've obviously got a larger squad with more competition for places than I think a lot of pundits probably gave them credit for upon returning to the Premiership. In the front row, I mean, again, I mean, you know, without a couple of options, I think they'll be looking forward to Sam Lockwood coming back at Loosehead. Not sure what the status is on him, but you know, they're a good. Good, George McGreen had a good game at hooker, for example. Mulopola is always a willing ball carrier and someone we're going to have to, you know, watch as a one-out ball carrier. In the backs, you know, there was no Gareth Owen, there was no Tom Arscott, there was no Cooper Vuna, there was no Alex Tate. They had to move Toby Flood in to play at 12 and then start Burrell at 13 in the absence of Orlando. They went with Conan, which was quite interesting, at 10. I thought he had a reasonable game with ball in hand. He had an absolute shocker kicking at goal. So maybe expect to see Joel Hodgson come back into the side at 10, or perhaps Flood takes over the kicking duties. So yeah, I mean, away from home at Newcastle, it's not always our favourite place. I know Alex always has a lot to say about that. You know, we should expect to win because we want to finish in the top, you know, four this season. You've got to go away from home to the team that's just come up, and you know, off the back of a big win for them, can they get themselves back up for another game? That's the big question for them. But you know, we don't tend to go well at Newcastle. So over to you guys. You know, what does Sale need to do, and what team do we need to pick in order to go to Kingston Park and pick up the win?
Yeah, I mean, Falcons away on a Friday night is less than desirable, even with that 4G pitch. And actually, the kind of 4G pitch is something I wanted to ask Alex about, because, you know, kind of given the fact that we do have players who are susceptible to injury within the squad, I'm thinking especially about Rohan Janssen van Rensburg. Alex, would you risk players like that, given the, you know, the conditions that we're likely to have up in Newcastle, the 4G pitch, which we know has, you know, a lot of impact on players' knees, especially? You know, do you risk your more injury-prone players, and how does that affect kind of which lineup we can put out for Friday away at Falcons.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? And I think with Rohan, it is the temptation is to be like wrap him up in cotton wool and, you know, keep him safe. But then it's there's also a bit of a, you know, if you're not going to play him in games where you need him, why, you know, he's a young lad. I know he's injury prone, and there's an element of realism about it. But at the same time, you know, we're paying these players to play rugby, and I think the pitch should be of sufficient quality that people aren't going to get injured on it. And yet, you know, freak injuries happen on them probably more often than on normal pitches. So it's really difficult. I do, you know, I think given we've got someone like Sam Hill, my sort of instinct would be to bring Sam Hill in and you know, save Rohan on that pitch. But it's probably not what should happen, if that makes sense. You know, you shouldn't be forced into decisions by the turf you're playing on, in effect. But yeah, I suppose we do have to be realistic. I think in terms of other selection decisions, we want a side that, you know, Newcastle are going to front up. They're going to be hard to play against. It's going to be a scrap. It's going to be tough. So we want a side that reflects that. And I think, you know, in fairness, the majority of the squad that we put out against Northampton would meet that brief. I think keeping Hammersley and James in would definitely be wise. You know, the solidity they give, and Luke James, that is, but also Sam James, obviously, is probably first name on the team sheet still. You know, I think we have struggled historically against Newcastle, but this is a slightly different season. You know, it's not like, you know, you're having to travel on a Friday and there's going to be, you know, it's going to be a long journey. You know, there's not a lot on the roads. And as silly as that sounds, you know, it makes the journey a bit easier. There's no crowd, so that changes the dynamic. You know, we've started the season well. We've got confidence. So I wouldn't be putting a lot of changes to that team, but I do think Rohan is a worry, and we should probably be realistic and say, do we put Sam Hill in? Or someone else inside centre, just in case, you know, there's a season-ending injury in this pitch, because there probably is, and it'd be similar if Tuilagi wasn't already injured. I think there'd be a similar argument for him, because it is just such a worry that, you know, do we want to win at Newcastle away? Yes. Do we want to win at Newcastle away at the cost of weakening our squad for the rest of the season? No. But other than that, I think the majority of other players, I would keep the team as similar as possible for me, because I think it's a really strong team. I think it's close to our best team, and hopefully, you know, the confidence they've got and what they've shown in that Northampton game, they can go on and improve in that Newcastle game.
I agree with all of that. The other name that I'd probably chuck out there is Marlon Yard, who I would say dropped from the 23 completely. Not because of anything he's done, but you think back at, you know, the rehabilitation he's still continuing to do, you know, with the horrendous leg injury he suffered a couple of years ago. For me, I just would not risk him at all. I'd maybe look at putting someone like Tom Roebuck, you know, as a 23rd man. Especially because, you know, from my perspective, you're looking at Falcons and, you know, they've got some danger men, you know, on the wings. Adam Radwan and Ben Stevenson started at the weekend. Both of them are rapid. Stevenson's an ex-sevens player. So, you know, I think there's a case to be made that you don't play Yard. You know, you let Tom Roebuck with a bit of youthful exuberance go after someone like Radwan, you know, if Roebuck does have to come on. But I agree completely, Alex. I think, you know, you keep the squad settled. You take the biggest pack you can, which is basically the pack that we played on the previous Friday night, just in case the conditions are terrible and we need to grind out a 6-3. And yeah, you rest Van Rensburg. If Tuilagi was fit, you rest him, you rest Yard. You know, anyone with lower leg injuries or a history of lower leg injuries, you just keep them well away, because I think that might be a bit of a stumbling block for Sale, which ultimately, given that we've got a couple of major injuries already on the books, you know, this is a banana skin game in more than one way. James, just to fire one back to you then, just before we sign off, who's the danger man for Falcons that we should be keeping a real eye out for?
Well, I think Radwan, you know, And that's another reason I won't be letting Marlon Yard anywhere near that pitch, because Radwan, you know, he changes direction so quickly, quite a low centre of gravity, can step off both feet and absolutely rapid. So you don't want Marlon Yard being dealing with that with his knee. You know, it's a big task for Hammersley. He's going to have to close, if he's playing on the left wing, he'll have to close down the space quite quickly. And we'll do what we normally do. We'll put pressure on the inside. And if Newcastle, you know, way that Conan was working, they were aiming to get that space on the outside with the wraparound. So I think that's something that we're going to have to watch out for. So Sam James's defence at 13 is going to be absolutely critical for us. I agree, I'd go with Sam Hill at 12. I think we need to see more of him. He's a quality player. He's got a winner's medal from last year for playing for Exeter, and has been there before and won trophies. So I think we need to get used to understanding how we can make the most of playing with him in the side as well, especially with Tulangi being out for a long period of time and Van Rensburg's injury record. You know, we really need to get used to Sam Hill being in the side. And then the only other thing I'd throw in is, you know, obviously if Harrison is fit, he comes straight back in at one. And then I think there's a question perhaps of playing Griff John or maybe even Cooper Woolley at three and rotating that way. But just a flag, you know, we did see 20 minutes of Bevan Rodd, didn't we, at the weekend, which was good to see. Youngster getting some game time, showed a lot of promise before his injury. So maybe, I think Dimes has said he's going to throw the odd one in here or there. I wouldn't put it like past him to have someone like Conor Doherty on the bench, someone like that. You know, he started the first or second game, didn't he, in after lockdown. So keep an eye out on the bench. I think we might see another youngster on there.
All right, then. So let's do some predictions. I guess I'll take up the gauntlet first. I think Newcastle are a very good team. They're quite a settled team now and obviously well-coached, as James mentioned. But on the face of it, we should have enough star power, even without Van Rensburg or Tuilagi or whomever else, to be able to eke out a victory up in the northeast. So I'm predicting it's going to be close, but I reckon it's going to be Newcastle 16, Sale 22, and a very important second win on the board for Sale this season. James, your prediction?
I'm just going to go a bit different. I mean, it's not to say I'm not backing the lads. I expect us to win, but I won't be surprised to see Newcastle win. History tells you everything you need to know about teams going there. I'm going to say Newcastle 22, Sale 17.
Ooh, okay. I am going to go I think it's going to be a Sale win, but I think it's going to be hard, and I think it's going to be scrappy, and I think a few AJ kicks will probably clinch it, so I'm going to say Sale 15, Newcastle 9. A tough night, but I think we'll show a bit of character and come through.
Right, so we're all unanimous in backing Sale then. So, well, that's the first episode of our new season back. We hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to everyone who helped us survive the 3 weeks without Premiership Rugby. You know, we really appreciated it. And thank you to everyone who's been listening today. And I guess the only thing left to say is tune in next week to see if we're all horrendously wrong about sales prospects up in Newcastle. But that's everything from me. Alex, James, anything else you want to mention on Sale before we say goodbye for another week?
Not on Sale, but just to flag that it looks like bodies back in stadiums were announced today. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, how that's going to work for professional rugby union, whether it's going to be different rules apply in different areas of the country, which is what it looks like. It's 4,000 capacity or 50% of capacity if you're in Tier 1. Well, we're not going to be in Tier 1 in the Northwest, although things are rapidly moving in the right direction, or 2,000 or 50% of capacity in Tier 2, which does potentially feel within, you know, within reaching distance, depending on how, you know, Greater Manchester, whether they're put all together or what have you. So something to look out for there, sports fans, potentially back in stadiums in the not too distant future.
Yes, and it looks like Wayne Barnes is taking charge of the Selby Newcastle game, so hopefully I won't get as angry at the refereeing as I did on Friday night. But yeah, that's all from me. Looking forward to a gritty game up north. And I mean, there's only two games a year I don't want Newcastle to win, and this is one of them. So hopefully a good result for Sale. But not that I'm very glad to see Falcons back in the Prem, and hopefully we can get back up to Newcastle soon for some in-stadium experience.